Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? No problem? Okay, that's great. So my name is Troy Atherton. I'm from Australia. And today we're going to read from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And as many of you know, we're going through a number of kings. And today our king is King Uzziah. But before I read chapter 26, I want to read one verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. And this is what it says. This is the Lord talking. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. And so today, as we read King Uzziah, we're going to look at one particular sin that tripped Uzziah up, which was his pride. And there are two key verses in chapter 26 in 2 Chronicles, which is verse 5 and verses 15 and 16. So, does everybody have their Bible? We're going to read the whole chapter in one section. Let us read from the Word of God. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabnah, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Geba and against the Munites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the borders of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns, because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah also had a well-trained army, ready to go out by divisions, according to their numbers, as mustered by Jeiel the secretary and Messiah the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have become unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry while he was raging at the priests in their presence. Before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave, because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings. For people said he had leprosy, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. You can be certain that in my country, Australia, if you preached a sermon on the sin of pride, one of two things would definitely happen. First, people in Australia at a church will think pride is not a very serious sin. Pride is usually not condemned. And I say it's a good thing to have pride. In my country, Australia, Christians condemn very glaring sins. Sins of lust, sins of pornography, sins of gay marriage, and the like. But sins that are not so glaring, sins that are usually in the mind, and not so easy to see, sins such as self-will, or lack of prayer, or pride, sins that are not really spectacular, and I might even say sins that are not very gossipy and juicy to know about, well, these sins, they don't really interest us. Pride is a respectable sin. It's a soft sin. It's not something that is terribly bad in the sight of God. So, we don't usually hear about sins of pride in sermons. In Australia, people don't really think that sinful pride is a very interesting topic. When we hear about it, we begin to yawn and go to sleep. They say, pride. Well, that is not a very interesting topic to hear about coming to church. Can't we hear something more interesting? Pride is a very deep and philosophical topic. So I'm going to switch off and reawake at the end of the sermon. Now, I'm a teacher, and I can tell you that my students today are not serious thinkers. They like to be entertained. They're always telling me all the time, Mr. Atherton, can we watch a movie instead of read a textbook? They don't want to think very deeply. And that's because that in our generation, we're not trained to think very seriously. We don't like to reflect. And we don't like to examine. We like to be entertained. We want to hear something fun. We don't want to hear a sermon that is on a serious matter of pride or self-will or self-glorification. Those words are too big. I think it's true. I can tell you honestly that when I was in Australia, I don't think I ever heard a sermon on the topic of pride. And that's surprising, because when you go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, what does it say about the last days? Well, it certainly says that people will be very, very proud and arrogant and boastful. Pride is a serious sin to God. I think many people in the church are similar to an ancient Greek judge called Achaeus. Now, Achaeus was a pompous judge in ancient Greece, and there's a story about him that I like to tell. A conspiracy was formed against his life, and a friend heard about it and sent him an urgent courier to his friend with this message: My lord, The person who writes you this letter begs you to read it immediately. It contains serious matters. But Achaeus was at a feast at that moment, and he replied, smiling when he got the letter, "Serious things tomorrow," and went back to his party. Well, that night the conspiracy was formed and he was slain. The letter unread until the next morning. Pride is a serious matter to God. It's a sin that he particularly hates. He's committed to punishing all proud people. He does not see it as a respectable sin. He doesn't see it as a teeny-weeny sin that we don't have to worry about. All sins are bad, but some sins are particularly awful in God's sight. Now, there's a quote that I want you to read by the 17th century preacher Richard Baxter. It should be on the white screen. It's a very interesting quote, and it makes us think. Richard Baxter told his congregation, "When we're telling the drunkard that he cannot be saved unless he become temperate, or we tell the fornicator that he cannot be saved unless he become chaste, have we not as great reason, if we are proud, to say to ourselves that we cannot be saved unless we become humble? Pride, in fact, is a greater sin than drunkenness and filthiness. For what is holiness but a devotedness to God and a living to Him? And what is a damnable state but a devotedness to carnal self and a living to ourselves? And does anyone live more to himself and less to God than the proud man?" Well, I think that's a very insightful analysis by Richard Baxter. Pride is a serious sin. It's more serious than what we think of. It's more serious than drunkenness. It's more serious than fornication. Pride is the root sin that causes us to do other sins. Pride is saying to God, "I will not be ruled by you." It is self-will. And it is self-glorification. So let's look at Uzziah and see what happened. Now, the Bible is written for our instruction. But not everything that happened to Uzziah or to any other king has been recorded in the Bible. The Holy Spirit has seen fit to only record those things that are most important. And they are written to instruct us. God had a purpose in writing this account. Now, what was God's purpose? First, God makes it clear that there's nothing wrong in becoming successful. My grandfather was a very, very successful businessman in Australia. His portrait is hung in the National Library in Australia. He was also a very godly man. He was a successful businessman and an extremely godly man. Uzziah was successful. He was successful in building a strong country. He was successful in farming. He was successful in his army. He was successful in building towns and fortifying Jerusalem. There was nothing wrong with that. I always tell Melody, my daughter, God has given you a brain, and he expects you to use it. I'm always quite worried when I always meet Christians who think, well, it's no good to be intelligent now that we're Christians. That does not make any sense to me. God has given you a brain and he wants you to use it. Use it to the very best of your ability. God has given you hands. So become a great pianist or piano player or a great artist. There's nothing wrong with what God has given us and using it to our very best ability. But there's a flip side to that. Success, if we are successful, comes from God. Success comes from God. As long as Uzziah realized this, God continued to give him success. Uzziah had to understand two things. First, he had to realize that success does not come from his hands. Success comes from God's hand. Secondly, Uzziah always had to bear in mind what that success was given to him for. There is a reason why God gives you success. God gives you success not for your own glory, but for his own glory. God's glory, not for yours. That's why we're here. Success has one primary purpose, which is to glorify God. As long as Uzziah remained humble, feared God, and gave God the glory, Uzziah was successful. Unfortunately, pride tripped him up. The success that God favored him with led to him believing that the success was of his own making. We forget this. The success that Uzziah got, he forgot that it came from God. He thought it came from his own making. He began to think that his success was the result of his own effort. Now, it's very easy for us to say, well, Uzziah, how did you stuff that up? How did you get it so wrong? But let's reflect about ourselves. How many of us crow about our successes when in reality all the credit is due to God? We forget that the reason we might be intelligent was because it was God who gave us the brain. If God didn't give you a brain, you wouldn't be intelligent, would you? Did you get your own brain? God gave it to you. We forget that the reason we have money is not because we're smart or clever in finding a job, but because God allowed us to get that job. And God provided the right conditions and the right environment for us to get that job. We forget that the reason we have good food on our table is not because we're very smart farmers. It's because God supplied everything. He gave us the sun to be at the right position, 93 million miles away. Just think of God put the sun at 92 million miles away. What would happen to us? Well, I imagine the oceans would burn up and we'd be fried chicken. Just think if we were 94 million miles away. Well, we would all freeze to death and be eating ice, basically. But God put the sun exactly where it should be, 93 million miles away. Do we thank God for that? God gave us the soil. Thank God he didn't give us rocks, but he gave us good soil to plant. God gave us water. I don't know anybody on this earth who knows how to make water out of nothing. Does anybody know how to do it? God gave us the seed. Does anybody know how to make a seed? I surely don't. Get Einstein, get 10 Einsteins and say, make us a seed. They can't. God gave us the seed. He gave us the water. He gave us the soil. He gave us the sun. He gave us the oxygen. Everything comes from God. The universe, the earth, the air we breathe, all of it is given to us out of the sheer will and sheer power of God. Thank God we're not on Venus or Mars. Venus would burn up. Mars will just die straight away. God has given us everything. We just think it's natural when it's not. God has given it to us. Everything we have comes from God. What does Scripture say in Psalm 24, verse 1? The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, belongs to the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 10. Every creature of the forest is mine, says the Lord, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Of our existence and of our life, the Apostle Paul says in Acts 17, God gives all men life and breath and everything else. Is your heart beating? Are you taking breath? God gives you breath. He makes your heart beat. He numbers our days. He knows the very day, the very hour, the very second, the day I would die. He knows it. I don't. Everything comes from God. As Uzziah forgot this, he thought it came from himself. The church, and most of the world, I fear, is very proud and very arrogant and very forgetful. Wealth, power, fame, success has dried up the spiritual energy and vital of the church. We need to be on guard against the sin of pride. Now, there's a great passage in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses warned the people of Israel. It's a long passage, but I want to read it because it's extremely useful. And it's what Uzziah forgot. And I don't want us to forget it. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book in the Bible, chapter 8, verses 10 to 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 to 18. Now this is Moses warning the Israelites. And unfortunately, Uzziah didn't listen to this warning. This is what Moses told the people of Israel. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. Now, pay special attention to the next verse. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He, the Lord, who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors. We are very easy to forget that it is the Lord our God who gives us the ability to make money, to build fine houses, to grow good food. We're so apt to forget and think that it comes from our skill, from our mind, from our intelligence. We must be careful that this does not happen to us. Now, what did pride do to Uzziah? First, pride made Uzziah to ignore God's word. It made him to ignore God's word. If you read the book of Numbers, chapter 16, you will find out that a king could not offer incense. He couldn't do it. It was strictly forbidden by God. Now, what God was basically saying is that you're a king, you're not a priest. Kings and priests are separate. There's only one person who is both king and priest. Do you know who that is? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only person who is priest and king. What Uzziah was trying to do was trying to be both, and he couldn't. And God said, you can't do it. Get out straight away. But Uzziah ignored God's word. He said, why should I listen to God's word? I'm powerful. I'm successful. People look up to me. They listen to me. Why should I humble myself before God's word? Pride causes us to refuse and reject God's word. It causes us to disagree with the parts we don't like. Why should I do that? God says I should do it, but why should I do it? I'm an important person. So, I'm special. Pride makes us do that. Secondly, pride also makes us discontent. Now, why did Uzziah want to offer incense? The Bible doesn't say, look at me, what a great and fantastic person I am. It doesn't say he did that. What he says is that he went to the temple to offer incense. Now, that was a proud act, but why did he do it? Well, I think he wanted to be more than king. He looked around him and looked at all the other kings and said, hey, all these weaker kings can go into their temples and they can offer sacrifices and offer incense. Why not me? Why should I be less special than them? I'm not happy with my present condition. The 17th century Christians used to ask each other this question. I know that one of you knows the answer to this question. What is the chief end of man? Is that person here who knows that answer? What is the chief end of man? Who knows the answer? What is it? Correct. Man's chief end, or his main purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That was the question that Christians always asked each other a long, long time ago. We should say this to ourselves. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. God says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Pride makes us forget why we're here. It's not self-glorification, it's God-glorification. We're here to glorify God, and we're here to enjoy glorifying God. That's what we're here. And this is what Uzziah forgot. He thought, I'm here to glorify myself. If you have your Bible, I would like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. It's a fantastic passage, and it connects extremely well with our chapter today. I want to read to you the first 8 verses from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is the vision that Isaiah saw of God Almighty. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, the man with leprosy, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, most likely the altar of incense. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Is it just a coincidence that in the year that King Uzziah dies, the man who's unclean, who has leprosy, Isaiah is taken up and sees the Lord high and exalted. And hears the angel singing, "The whole earth, Lord, is full of your glory." What a contrast. What an extreme contrast. There's Uzziah, who thinks he's great and wonderful, now excluded in a little tiny room because of his leprosy, a person who is unclean. And then Uzziah sees the Lord high and exalted. What a contrast. I think that whenever we feel pride coming on, whenever we think we're great and mighty, read Isaiah 6 and be deflated and see the Lord high and exalted and realize just who you are. A man of unclean lips among a people of unclean people. And realize that the only way that you can be in God, with God, is by God's grace, by Jesus' blood. Thomas Watson, a great Puritan pastor, said, "A sight of God's glory humbles. The stars vanish when the sun appears." That's true. We're a little tiny star. And when the sun comes, what happens to the star? It disappears and the sun takes over. You exist for God's glory. I have a few minutes to finish. Now, what do I want you to learn from Uzziah? First, don't be presumptuous. Don't be presumptuous that pride could happen to you. Now, when Uzziah was young, do you think he said, "One day I will go to the temple and I'll offer incense and I'll be really, really proud about it"? I don't think so. I think he was a very humble person when he was young. No man becomes wicked all at once. No man becomes wicked all at once. Pride is a sin that creeps on you. I don't think Uzziah woke up one morning and said, "I'm proud. I'm going to the temple." I think it came on him gradually without probably him even noticing it. I don't think he suddenly thought, "I'm going to the temple today." I think it came on him very, very gradually. You must be on your guard. You must be on your guard. Satan is a very clever enemy. Last week I was in another city in China, staying at a hotel, and I usually came back early to do some work, but some of my other teachers who were with me, they said, "Wow, there are lots and lots of prostitutes downstairs just waiting to come in." And, you know, in Australia, that doesn't happen. Well, not for me anyway. But when I come to China, here's a new temptation. Circumstances change, and with new circumstances come new and different kinds of temptations and sins. I sometimes go out with some men, and they all like to drink beer. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking beer. The problem is drinking lots of it and getting drunk. That's the problem. In Australia, with my family, we just don't drink. The hardest stuff we drink is maybe a Coca-Cola with ice. That's a hard stuff, right? So I always love to go to a bar and order milk. I don't know if I can, but I'm just really not very strong. I don't just like drinking, right? But when I come to China, people like to go to the bar and they ask me to come along. And I say, okay, if it's for a conference meeting, I'll come along. But I'll just drink Coca-Cola. That's all I drink. But there's a lot of, "Well, he's kind of weird, this guy. Why isn't he drinking real hard liquor with us?" Well, I don't do it. There's new circumstances bring new type of sins. That's what I'm trying to get across. When I come to China and I go to different hotels, I sometimes get a little calling card under my door which says, "You want to have a good night? Give me a call." I'm sure a lot of us have had that before. Some of you are businessmen. In this country, there's a lot of bribery and corruption. Are you going to be dishonest in your business details? Some of you are going to make lots of money. Some of you are going to get powerful positions here in China. What I'm trying to say is that new circumstances bring across new sins that we haven't come across before. Pride was something that Uzziah probably didn't have at the beginning. But as he became successful, the Satan said, aha, now it's time to use my pride card. And he fell for it. Pride is a sin the devil often uses against us. If he can't get you to commit one sin, he's going to try another tactic and get you to do another sin. If you have my handout, I'm sure some of you have got it. You will notice how successful the devil has been in using pride to bring somebody down. Be on your guard against it. Finally, know your purpose for why you exist here on earth. It's to glorify God. Whatever achievements you have, whatever wealth you have, whatever things you have attained from God, don't think it was because of your great ability and you should puff yourself up. Be humble. Realize that it was God who gave you success. God has given it to you. God can easily also take it away. Do not be like Uzziah. Be humble. Submit yourself to God and humble yourself in everything you do. Thank you, and God bless.